Money is short for the church's dean and his daughters. That is, until his sister takes them all in hand and presents them a new source of income. Place your bets now.
Dandy Dick by Arthur Wing Pinero. With Alec McCowan as the Dean, Patricia Routledge as Georgiana Tidman, and Nigel Stock as Sir Tristram. Dandy Dick.
Oh, oh my, oh my, oh my.
Oh, my gracious goodness. Goodness gracious me.
There's only one terrible word for it. It's a fix.
It's worse than that. It's a scrape. How did you ever get led into it?
How did we get led into it? Half, Sheba, please.
It was Major Tarver's proposal, and I believe, Salome, that it is to you Major Tarver is paying attention.
I believe that the young gentleman you have impressed calls himself an officer, though he is merely a lieutenant.
Mr. Darby is certainly an officer. A small officer.
The fancy dress ball at Durnston is promoted by the officers of the Hussars. When tonight we appear at the Durnston Athenaeum, I'm known to dear papa on the arms of Major Tarver and Mr. Darby. I consider that we shall be equally wicked.
Oh, how can we be so wrong? Well, we're not wrong yet. We're only going to be wrong. That's a very different matter.
But, oh, now that the ball is tonight, I repent, Sheba. I repent.
I shan't do that till tomorrow. But, oh, how I shall repent tomorrow.
Sheba, you'd repent now if you had seen the account for the fancy dresses.
Oh, has it come in?
Yes. Major Tarver enclosed it to me this morning.
Read it. Don't spare me.
Debtor to Louis Isaac's costumier to the Queen, Bow Street. Total, £40.19. Terms, cash.
Oh, Sheba, Salome. Are there £40 in the wide world?
Oh,
if we were only a few years older, I should suggest that we wrote nice notes to Papa and committed suicide.
Brought up as we have been, that's out of the question.
Salome, we must get dear Papa in a good humour and coax him to make us a present of money. He knows we haven't been charitable in the town for ever so long.
Poor dear Papa, he hasn't paid our proper dressmaker's bill yet, and I'm sure he's pressed for money. Suppose poor Papa refuses to give us a present.
Then we must play the piano when he's at work on his sermon. Poor dear Papa.
However, don't get us wrong, poor Papa, in advance. Let us try to think how nice we shall look.
Oh, yes, shan't I?
Oh, I shall. And as for stealing out of the house with Major Tarver when poor dear Papa has gone to bed, why, Gerald Tarver would die for me.
So would Nugent Darby for me. Besides, I'm not old enough to know better.
You're not so very much younger than I, Sheba.
Indeed, Salome. Then why do you keep me in short skirts?
Why, you cruel girl. You know I can't lengthen you till I'm married. Yes, Flora?
Miss Salome, the two soldier gentlemen have just rode up.
You mean Major Tarver?
Yes, Miss Salome.
And Mr. Darby?
Yes, Miss Sheba.
They have called to inquire after poor Papa.
Poor Papa?
Shall I show them in, Miss Sheba?
Yes, Bloor, dear. And hang your H's on the hat stand.
Ashes. Very good, me ladies.
Am I all right, Sheba?
Yes. Am I?
Yes. Let's take a peep at them.
Oh, look! Oh, see how well Gerald Tarver dismounts. Oh! He left his liver in India, didn't he?
No, only part of it.
Well, part of it.
And that he gave to his queen. Brave fellow.
Where shall we be? Here?
All right, you be admiring my voice.
Oh, I dare say. Here they are. What shall we do?
Let's run away and then come in unconsciously.
Oh, yes, unconsciously.
Oh, never mind. Perhaps Miss Jedd is at home.
Yes, sir, she is. Oh, the ladies were here a moment ago.
It would be discourteous to run away without asking Miss Jedd after her father.
Indeed, in the deuced bad form.
Oh, Major Tarver.
My dear Miss Jedd.
Oh, Mr. Darby.
Hiya. Hiya.
You quite startled us.
Oh, did we? Awfully cut up to hear it.
We never dreamt of finding two visitors for Papa.
Well, you told me to show the gentleman in, Miss Sheba.
Oh, you needn't wait, Bloor.
Let them hang that on the hatch stand.
Very good, Miss Salome.
We thought we'd ride over directly after parade to make the final arrangements for tonight. Have the costumes arrived?
Yes, they came yesterday in a hamper labelled Miss Jed, Secretary, Cast Off Clothing Distribution Week.
That was my idea. Came to me in the middle of the night.
Oh, dear Major Tarver, surely this terrible strain on your nerves is very, very bad for you with your...
My liver. Say the word, Miss Jed.
Oh, Major Tarver.
It is frightfully injurious. Of course, I'm excited now, and you seem at the best. But the alternating fits of hopeless despondency are shocking to witness and to endure.
Oh!
It's all that damned India. Oh, what have I said? You'll never forgive me.
Indeed, indeed I will.
Never. Oh, Miss Jed, my forgetfulness has brought me one of my terrible attacks. The depression.
Major Tom!
Oh, thanks. The attack has passed. Now, about tonight.
At what time is the house entirely quiet?
Poor dear Papa goes round with Bloor at 9:30. After that, all is rest and peacefulness.
Ah, then if we're here with a closed carriage at 10...
But suppose dear Papa should hear us crunching down the gravel path.
Oh!
Would you like a glass of water, Major Tarver?
Oh, thank you, dear Miss Jed. With the least suggestion of cayenne pepper in it.
Oh, Salome! Papa! He's coming! Oh, Papa! He's crossing the lawn!
The Dean?
The Dean?
Remember, Major Tarver, Mr. Darby, you have ridden over to ask how his cold is.
Yeah,
he's
cold.
Papa! Oh! Patsy!
Salome! Sheba, my toy child!
Ha! Dear me, strangers.
Papa, Major Tarver and Mr. Darby have ridden over from Durnston to ask how your cold is.
Dear me, Major, Mr. Garvey.
Darby.
Oh, Darby, how good of you. My cold is better. Major, Mr. Garvey, these inquiries strike me as being so kind that I insist, no, I beg that you will share our simple dinner with us tonight at 6:00.
Well, I,
Yes.
That is certainly, Dean, certainly.
Delighted, dear Dean, delighted. Good, that's settled. Good.
Now, what will happen tonight?
Why, don't you see? As you will have to drive over to dine, you will both be here on the spot, ready to take us over to Durnston.
Yes, but when are we to make our preparations? It'll take me a long time to look like Charles the First.
We can drive about Durnston while you dress.
Charles the First. Oh, Major.
That was my idea. Charles the Martyr, you know. Tarver's a martyr to his liver. See?
Oh, shan't we all look magnificent?
Oh.
Grand idea, the whole thing.
Regular army notion.
Oh, dear. Every post. Never stop.
Papa? Papa?
Ah, yes. Coming to dinner. Good.
We waited to say, good morning.
How kind. Good morning.
6:00 sharp.
At 6, punctually. Salome, represent me by escorting these gentlemen to the gate.
Oh, yes, Papa. This way?
Sheba.
Pepsi?
Check in me a growing tendency to dislike Mr. Garvey. Goodbye. At dinner, Sheba, watch that I carve for him fairly.
Yes, Pepsi.
Bills, oh dear.
Papa's alone, Sheba. A beautiful opportunity to ask for that little present of money. Poor dear Papa.
Poor dear Papa. Perhaps he's in a good humor.
He always is.
Perhaps he will listen to our little one.
Oh, dear. Your wants are very little ones. What are they, Salome? What are they, toy child?
Papa, have you any spare cash?
Spare cash? Playful, Salome.
Alice? D, Pepsi, or LS, Pepsi, and never mind the D.
I am glad, really glad, children, that you have broken through a reserve which has existed on this point for at least a fortnight and babbled for money. It gives me the opportunity of meeting your demands with candor. Children, I have love for you, solicitude for you, but I have no spare cash for anybody. No spare cash for anybody.
Lost.
Done for.
And now you have so cheerily opened the subject, let me tell you with equal good humor that all the money I can immediately command is considerably under £500.
Oh, Papa! Oh, what a lot!
Oh, but read, Salome. Read aloud this paragraph in the Times of yesterday. There, my child.
A munificent offer. Dr. Jed, the Dean of St. Marvel's, whose anxiety for the preservation of the Minster Spire threatens to undermine his health, has subscribed the munificent sum of £1,000 to the Restoration Fund.
Oh! And we gasping for clothing!
Read on, my child.
On condition that 7 other donors come forward, each with the like sum. Will they?
My darling, times are bad, but one never knows.
If they don't...
Then you will have your new sum addresses as usual.
But if they do, speak, Father.
Then we will all rejoice.
Rejoice?
And retrench. 2 hours, little one. Retrench and rejoice. The second parish, sir. Just here. Thank you, Floor.
They had a scolding, asses. Let them hang that on the hat stand.
Oh, Floor. This note from Mr. Hodder, the Secretary of the Sport and Relaxation Repression Guild, reminds me that tomorrow is the first day of the races. The St. Marvel's Spring Meeting, as it is called.
Indeed, sir. Fancy that. And I not know it.
All our servants may not resemble you, Bloor. Pray remind them in the kitchen and the stable of the rules of the house.
No servant allowed to leave the deanery on any pretense while the races is hot.
While the races are on. Thank you, Bloor.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, if the dean only knew the good thing I could put him on to for the Durnston handicap.
Thank you, sir.
Children! Salome, Sheba, here is good news.
Good news? What is it?
Your aunt.
Left us some money?
Your aunt is coming to live with us.
To what? To live with us? What aunt?
My dear widowed sister, Georgiana Tidman.
What's she like?
We don't want her.
Oh, good gracious. Georgiana and I reconciled after all these years. She will help us to keep the expenses down.
Keep the expenses down?
A second mother to my girls. She will implant the precepts of retrenchment if their father cannot.
But Papa, who is Aunt What's-her-name?
Who is she?
My dears, a mournful, miserable history. When you were infants, your Aunt Georgiana married an individual whose existence I felt it my sad duty never to recognize.
A bad man?
He died 10 years ago, and therefore we will say a misguided man. He was a person who bred horses to run in races for amusement combined with profit. He was also what is called a gentleman jockey, and in due course his neck was dislocated.
By aunt?
He came a cropper.
How awful.
Left a widow. You would think it natural that Georgiana Tidman would have flown to her brother, himself a widower, but not at all. Maddened, I hope, by grief, she continued the career of her misguided husband, and for years, to use her own terrible words, she was the daisy of the turf.
What's that?
I don't know, toy child. But at length retribution came. Ill luck fell upon her. Her horse's stock, everything, came to the hammer. That was my hour. Come to me, I wrote. My children yearn for you.
Oh!
Salome, Sheba, you will, I fear, find her a sad, broken creature. A weary fragment, a wave-tossed derelict. Let it be your patient endeavor to win back a flickering smile to the wan features of this chastened widow.
A telegram, sir.
Thank you, Bloor.
No Aunt Tidman flickers a smile at me.
I wouldn't be in her shoes for something.
Salt in her bed, Salome?
Yes, and the peg out of the rattling window.
Good gracious! Bless me, girls! Your Aunt Georgiana slept at the wheat sheaf to Durnston last night and is coming on this morning.
Today!
Laura, tell Willis to get the chaise out.
Yes, sir.
Salome, child, you and I will drive into Durnston. Oh. We may be in time to bring your aunt over. My hat, Sheba, quick!
Yes, Papa.
Ah, the bell! No, yes, it can't be. Children, I wonder if this is your Aunt Georgiana.
Mrs. Tidman.
Well, Gus, my boy, how are you?
Georgiana.
You're putting on too much flesh, Augustine.
Oh.
They should give you a 10-miler daily in a blanket.
Oh, my dear sister.
Are these your two yarrows? Kiss your aunt. Kiss your aunt. Lord bless you both. What names do you run under?
I am Salome. I am Sheba.
Why, little un, your stable companion could give you a stone and then get her nose in front.
Oh. Georgiana, I fear these poor innocents don't follow your well-intentioned but inappropriate illustrations.
Oh, we'll soon wake them up. Well, Augustine, my boy, it's nearly 20 years since you and I munched our corn together.
Our estrangement has been painfully prolonged.
Salome, I don't quite understand her, but I like Aunt. So do I. But she's not my idea of a weary fragment or a chastened widow.
My dear Georgiana, I rejoice that you meet me in this affectionate spirit, and when, pardon me, when you have a little caught the tone of the deanery...
Oh, I'll catch it. If I don't, the deanery will a little catch my tone. Same thing.
Toy child.
Trust George Tidd for setting things quite square in a palace or a puddle.
George Tidd? Who is George Tidd?
I am George Tidd. That was my racing name. Ask after George Tidd at Newmarket. They'll tell you all about me.
But, Georgiana, my dear, I understand distinctly from your letter that all this is finally abandoned.
Worse luck. They'll never see my colours at the post again. Ah, there's a visitor. I'll tootle upstairs and have a groom down. At what time do we feed, Augustine?
There is luncheon at 1 o'clock. Children, show your aunt the way.
Yes, Papa.
Good. Yeah, so fresh. I shan't be sorry to get my nose bag on.
This way, Aunt. Yes, this way.
My sister, Georgiana. My widowed sister, Georgiana. Dear me, I am quite disturbed. Surely the serene atmosphere of the deanery will work a change. It must. If not, what a grave mistake I've made. Good gracious. No, I won't think of it. Still, it is a little unfortunate that poor Georgiana should arrive here on the very eve of these terrible races at St. Marvel's.
Sir.
Who is it, Bloor?
Sir Tristram Marden, sir.
Sir Tristram Marden? Dear. Certainly, Bloor, certainly.
Sir.
Marden, why, Marden and I haven't met since Oxford.
This way, sir. Hello, Jed, how are you?
My dear Marden, my goodness gracious, are we boys again?
Of course we are boys again.
I quite forgot how rough Marden used to be.
Well, you think I'm changed?
Only in appearance.
I'm still a bachelor. Got terribly jilted by a woman years ago, and have run in blinkers ever since.
Ah.
Can't be helped, can it? You're married, aren't you?
I have been a widower for 15 years.
Oh, Lord. Awfully sorry. Forgive me, old chap. Give me a hand.
Oh.
I've reopened an old wound. Oh, damn stupid of me.
Oh, hush. Pardon, please.
All right. Now, what do you think I'm down here for?
For the benefit of your health, Martin?
I've never had an ache in my life. I can't come and hear you preach next Sunday, Gus. No, I'm here for the races.
The races? Oh, hush, my dear Martin, my girls.
Girls? Well, may I trot them into the paddock tomorrow?
Thank you, no.
Think it over. Now, you've seen the list of starters for the Durston Handicap?
No, I haven't.
Not? Look here. Sir Tristram Marden's Dandy Dick. 9'2", Tom Gallowood up. Now, what do you think of that?
I don't think of anything like that.
Look out for my colours, black and white to the pink cap. First past the post tomorrow.
Really, my dear Martin.
Good heavens, Jed, they talk about Bonnie Betsy.
I grieve to hear it, the tongue of scandal.
You imagine, sir, for one moment that Bonnie Betsy, with a boy on her back, could get down that hill with those legs of hers.
Oh, another horse, I presume.
No, a bay mare. George Tidd knew what she was about when she stuck the Dandy Dick to the very last.
George Tidd?
Georgiana Tidman. Dandy came out of her stable after she smashed.
Bless me.
Poor old George. I wonder what's become of her.
My dear Marden, I am, of course, heartily pleased to revive in this way our old acquaintance. I wish it were in my power to offer you the hospitality of the dean.
Don't name it. My horse and I are over the way at the Swan. Come and look at Dandy Dick.
Marden, you don't understand my position in St. Marvel's.
Oh, I see, Jed. Yes, I beg your pardon. You mean that the colors you ride in don't show up well on the hill yonder or in the stable of the Swan Inn?
You must remember.
I remember that in your young days you made the heaviest book on the Derby of any of our fellows.
I always lost, Marden. Indeed, I always lost.
I remember that you once matched a mare of your own against another of Lord Bexley's for £50.
Yes, but she wasn't in it, Marden. I mean, she was dreadfully beaten.
Oh, Jed. Jed. Other times, other manners. Goodbye, old boy.
You're not offended, Marden?
Offended? No. Only sorry, Dean. Damn sorry to see a promising lad come to an end like this.
My goodness! No! What? Dean!
No! Martin.
Of all places in the world to find Mr. Ted. I did. You've been chopping me. You've been roasting your old friend.
Martin.
George Ted is a pal of yours.
Sir Tristram Martin, Mrs. Tidman is my sister.
Your sister?
Yes. I've been running a bit dark, Marden, but that stout, well-seasoned animal over there and this skittish creature come out of the same stock and were foaled in the same stable. There are a couple of yearlings here you don't know. Ah. My nieces, Salome and Sheba.
How do you do?
Sir?
Well, I don't care whose sister you are, but I'm jolly glad to see you, George, my boy.
Salome, children, Sheba, I must speak to you. Come with me into the garden.
Well.
Yes, we'll come back in a minute, Auntie.
Gracious dress. Oh, don't squeeze my hand so.
Lord, how odd. You know, your brother and I were at Oxford together, too.
Were you, Triss? Then are you putting up here?
He won't have me.
Won't have you?
Well, because I'm down here racing. You see, he's a dean.
Uh-huh.
I suppose he's thinking of the canons and the bishop. Those chaps.
Lord bless your heart. I'll make it all right with Augustine.
No thanks, old fellow. The fact is, I'm fixed at the Swan with, what do you think, George?
Huh?
With Dandy Dick.
Oh, my old Dandy.
I brought him down with me in Lavender. You know he runs for the Durnston Handicap tomorrow.
No, there's precious little that horse does that I don't know. Is he fit?
As a fiddle. Shines like a mirror.
Uh-huh.
Not an ounce too much or too little. He'll romp him.
He'll dance him. Triss.
Eh?
Triss, Dandy Dick doesn't belong to you.
Hmm?
Not all of him.
No, I've only a half share. At your sale, he was knocked down to John Fielder, the trainer. The other half belongs to John.
No, it doesn't.
What?
It belongs to me.
George!
Yes! Directly I saw Dandy Dick marched out before the auctioneer, I asked John Fielder to help me, and he did, like a Briton, for I can't live without horse flesh. But when I condescended to keep company with the canons and the bishop here, I promised Augustine that I wouldn't own anything on four legs. So John sold you half of Dick, and I can swear I don't own a horse, and I don't. Not a whole one. Eh? Eh? What are you laughing at, man?
Oh, the dean.
Oh, the dean.
I beg your pardon.
Dear old.
Well, now you know he's fit. Of course you're going to back Dandy Dick for the Durnston Handicap.
Back him? For every penny I've got in the world. That isn't much, but if I'm not a richer woman by £1,000 tomorrow night, I shall have had a bad day.
Deuced bad day.
Sheba, did you hear about it?
Yes.
All of it.
Hello, you two children.
We were just going through to the library, Aunt Georgiana. Yes, Aunt. We were going to fetch a book. To read.
Well, I'll be off.
Keep your eye on the old horse, Tristram.
Don't fear. Good morning, George.
Good morning. partner. Oh, do be quiet.
Say goodbye for me to the dean.
Sir Tress, a fellow in a million.
Aunt, dear aunt.
Well, girls?
Aunt, Salome has something to say to you.
No, it's cheaper.
Why, you're shivering all over.
Aunt, dear Aunt Georgiana, we heard you say something about £1,000.
You were listening?
No, we only merely heard. Mm. No, Aunt, £1,000 is such a lot, and we poor girls want such a little.
Money?
Yes. We owe £40 unknown to Pa.
£40.19.
Why, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves, you gals.
We are.
To cry and go on like this about £40.
We've only got 15 and threepence of our own in the world. Mm. And, oh, Aunt, you know something about the races, don't you?
Eh?
If you do, help two poor creatures to win £40.19. Aunt Georgiana, what's Dandy Dick you were talking to that gentleman about?
Child, Dandy Dick's a horse.
We thought so. Then let Dandy Dick win us some money.
No, no, I won't hear of it.
Oh, do.
Go away, I won't. I say decidedly I will not.
Oh, do.
And we'll love you forever and ever, Aunt Georgiana.
You will?
Yeah.
Bless your little innocent faces. Do you want to win £40?
Oh, yes.
Very well, then. Put your very petticoats on, Dandy Dick.
Oh.
On Dandy Dick. Sugar Sally? I call you Sally, Salome. The evening's too short for your name.
All right, Aunt George. Two lumps, please.
Little one?
Two lumps and one in the saucer to eat.
Quite a relief to shake off the gentleman, isn't it?
Do you think so, Aunt?
Oh, I don't think so.
Ah, now I understand why my foot was always in the way under the dinner table.
But it was a frightfully jolly dinner. Take it all round.
Yes, take it all round.
What made us all so sad and silent, taking us all round?
Poor dear Papa was as lively as an owl with neuralgia. Mm.
Major Tarver isn't a conversational cracker.
Gerald Tarver has no liver to speak of.
He might have spoken about his lungs or something to cheer us up.
I fancy Mr. Darby was about to make a witty remark once.
Yes, and then the servant handed him a dish and he shied at it.
Still, we ought to congratulate ourselves upon a
frightfully jolly dinner. Excuse me, gals. I have some figures to work out. If Dandy Dick hasn't fared better at the Swan than we have at the Deanery, he won't be in the first three. Let me see now.
All settled, Sheba, isn't it?
Yes, everything. Directly the house is silent, we let ourselves out at the front door.
How do we get in again?
By the window. Oh. It has a patent safety fastening, so it can be opened with a hairpin.
We're courageous girls, aren't we? Aunt, here come the gentlemen.
Here come the waxworks.
I've just been putting the dean right about a little army question, Mrs. I can't catch your name.
Don't try. You'd come out in spots like measles.
Major! Not well again?
Indigestion. I'm always like this after dinner.
But what would you do if the trumpet summoned you to battle?
Oh, I suppose I should pack up a few charcoal biscuits and toddle out, you know.
Oh, I suppose then, Major, we couldn't persuade you to sing.
Eh? What? Oh, that's me delighted. Come into the garden.
Now you're yourself again.
Well, Gus, my boy, you seem out of condition.
I'm rather anxious for the post to bring today's tidings. You know, I've offered £1,000 to our restoration fund.
What?
Shh, I'll tell you.
The paper's just arrived, sir.
Sorry, this is my fault. There may be something in the Times of special interest to me. Thank you, Bloor.
Spoilt Tarver's pianissimo.
No!
I can't believe it.
What's the matter?
Papa!
Dean!
Children! Georgiana! Friends! My munificent offer has produced the desired result.
Oh!
7 wealthy people, including 3 brewers, have come forward with £1,000 apiece in aid of the restoration of the Minster spire.
Oh! That means a cool 1,000 out of your pocket, Gus.
Yes.
The anxiety to which the Dean of St. Marvels has so long been a victim will now doubtless be relieved. I suppose I shall feel the relief tomorrow.
What's wrong with the spire? Nobody sleeps in it?
It is a little out of repair, but hardly sufficiently so to warrant the presumptuous interference of 3 brewers. Excuse me. I think I'll enjoy the fresh air for a moment. Oh, bless me. Look there.
Oh, what's that?
It is a conflagration.
Oh, where is it? Oh, we see. Oh,
where is it?
Where is it, Flora?
Where is it?
The old Swan Inn's afire.
Oh, the Swan Inn. You girls, get me a hat and coat.
Oh, yes.
Somebody fetch me a pair of boots.
Georgiana.
Don't talk to me. Major, lend me your boots.
I don't. If I once get cold extremities.
Oh.
Respect yourself, Georgiana. Where are you going?
Going? I'm going to help clear the stables at the Swan.
Remember what you are. My sister, a lady.
I'm not. George Ted's a man, every inch of her.
Oh.
Triss.
Oh.
Triss Martin. Oh. Speak.
Oh.
The horse. The horse! You've got him out?
Yes. Safe and sound.
Oh, safe and sound. That old horse has backed himself to win the handicap.
Oh, George, his tail is singed a bit.
The less weight for him to carry tomorrow. Oh, dear old Dandy. He never was much to look at.
The worst of it is...
What?
The fool threw 2 pails of cold water over him to put it out.
Oh, that's done him.
Now, my dear Georgiana, what is a horse?
A living example to a dean. Triss, where is the animal?
My man Hatcham is running him up and down the lane to try and get him warm again.
Where are you going to put that homeless beast up now?
I don't know.
I do, though.
Mad woman, what are you going to do?
Bring Dandy Dick into our stables.
No, no.
The very place.
Georgiana, pray consider me.
Sir, I will when you've had 2 pails of water thrown over you. Come on, Triss.
I'm with you.
Oh. Oh, what is happening to me? It will be in all the sporting papers. Sir Tristram Martin's Dandy Dick reflected great credit upon the deanery stables. The sporting dean.
They're giving the flames, Anna. If I had had any galoshes with me, I should have been here, there, and everywhere.
Oh, where there's a crowd of civilians, the military exercise a wise discretion in restraining themselves.
We would better go now. Then we'll get the house quiet as soon as possible. Poor Papa looks worried. Poor Papa.
We will wait with the carriage in the lane.
Yes, yes. Papa, Major Tarver and Mr. Darby must go.
Oh, dear me, I'm very remiss.
Most fascinating evening.
Charming, my dear Dean.
You rang?
Oh, Bloor. Major Tarver's carriage.
At the gate, Miss Salome.
Oh, don't risk the cold, Papa.
By the by, my dear Dean, come over and see me. We ought to know more of each other. Say Monday?
I will not say Monday.
Any time you like. Oh, and I say, let me know when you preach, and I'll get some of our fellows to give their patronage.
Oh. Another moment, and I fear I should have been violently rude to him. A guest under my roof, the sporting dean. Oh, Bloor, understand me. If that Mr. Darby ever again presumes to present himself at the deanery, I will not see him.
I've come back for my violin.
Hmm?
I thank you.
Oh, Mr. Darby! Hear an explanation! Mr. Darby!
Oh, dear.
Ah, he knew me as soon as I kissed his dear old nose.
Ah, you have returned, Georgiana?
Yes, thank you.
And that animal, Dandy Dick?
In our stables, safe and snug.
Oh.
You can sleep tonight with the happy consciousness of having sheltered the outcast.
We're locking up now. The poor children, exhausted with the alarm, beg me to say good night for them.
I suppose you want to see the last of me, Jed?
Don't be unkind, Triss. Where shall we stow the dear old chap, Gus, my boy?
Where shall we stow the dear old chap?
Let me see. We don't want to pitch you out of your loft if we can help it, Gus.
No, no, no. We won't do that.
Oh, don't consider me in this matter. But there's Sheba's little cot still standing in the old nursery.
Just the thing for me. The old nursery.
I'll ring for Blore. The old nursery. Ha ha! Toys to play with if you wake early.
Is there anyone else before we lock up?
Yes, sir.
Blore, put Sir Tristram to bed carefully in the nursery.
And, Blore, is the fire quite extinguished?
Yes, sir. But I hear they've just sent it to Durnston asking for the military to watch the rains in case of another heartbreak. It'll stop the wicked ball at the Hathaneum, it will.
Well, good night, old boy. I'm too done for a hand of piquet tonight.
I never play cards.
I'll teach you during my stay at the deanery.
Oh.
Good night, George.
Good night, partner. Heaven bless the little innocent in his cot. And, Tris,
yes.
You may take your pipe up with you. We smoke all over the deanery.
Oh.
I never smoke, does she?
Gus. Gus, I don't like your looks. I shall let the vet see you in the morning. What's wrong with you?
Oh.
Money?
Yes.
I know. The spire.
Yes.
Why, Gus, you haven't got that 1,000.
Well, there is a very large number of estimable worthy men who do not possess £1,000.
When's the settling day?
The what?
When will you have to fork out?
Oh, unless the restoration is immediately commenced, the spire will certainly crumble.
Then it's a match between you and the spire which parts first.
Yes.
Gus, will you let your little sister lend you a hand?
Oh, my dear Georgiana, impossible.
No, no, not out of my own pocket. Come here.
Mm-hmm.
Can you squeeze a pair of ponies?
Can I what?
Can you raise £50?
Oh, certainly. More than £50.
No, no, don't be rash. That's the worst of you beginners. Only 50 by tomorrow morning.
Most assuredly.
Very well, then. Clap it on, Dandy Dick.
What?
He's a certainty, if those two buckets of water haven't put him off it. He's a cert.
Mrs. Tidman, go to your room.
Augustine.
In the morning I will endeavour to frame some verbal expression of the horror with which I regard your proposal. For the present, you are my parent's child, and I trust your bed is well aired.
Oh, very well, Augustine. I've done all I can for the spire. Bonsoir, old boy.
Good night.
And if you're wiser in the morning, just send Blore onto the course and he'll put the money on for you.
Blore, my poor devoted old servant, would be lost on a race course.
Oh, would he? He was quite at home in Tattersall's ring when I was at St. Marvel's last summer.
Blore?
Blore.
Oh.
I recognized the veteran sportsman the moment I came into the deanery.
What was my butler doing at St. Marvel's races?
Investing the savings of your cook and housemaid, of course. You don't think your servants are as narrow as you are.
Oh.
I beg your pardon, sir. Shall I go the round, sir?
Blore, a word.
Ma'am?
Blore, breakfast at 9 sharp, and pack a hamper with a cold chicken, some French rolls, and 2 bottles of Heidsieck. Label it George Tidd and send it on to the hill. Mm-hmm. I'll stand the racket. Good night.
Dear A-spirited lady.
Oh.
Aren't you well, sir?
Serpent.
Meaning me, sir?
Lock up. I'll speak to you in the morning. Lock up.
Yes, sir.
Oh, what dreadful wave threatens to engulf the deanery. What has come to us in a few fatal hours? A horse of sporting tendencies contaminating my stables. His equally vicious owner nestling in the nursery. And my own widowed sister, in all probability, smoking a cigarette at her bedroom window with her feet on the window ledge. What's that? I thought I heard footsteps in the garden. I can see nothing. Only the old spire standing out against the threatening sky. Oh, the spire, my principal creditor, the most conspicuous object in the city.
Sir, I found these, sir, on your dressing table. They're banknotes, sir.
Thank you, Blore. I placed them there to be sent to the bank tomorrow. £50. Oh, the very sun, Georgiana, urged me to put... Leave me, Blore. Go to bed. Go to bed. Go to bed.
Blore,
sir. What made you tempt me with these at such a moment?
Tempt you, sir? The window is open. I fear they might blow away.
Ma'am, what were you doing at St. Martin's races last summer?
Oh, sir, I knew that high-spirited lady would bring grief and sorrow to the peaceful Appley Deanery. Oh, sir, I have done a little on my own account from time to time on the hill. Also, on commission for the kitchen.
I knew it. I knew it.
Oh, sir, you are an old gentleman. Turn a charitable heart to the races.
Get up, Blore, get up,
sir.
Oh, Edward Blore, what weak creatures we are.
We are, sir. We are. Especially when we've got a tip, sir. Think of the temptation of a tip, sir.
I do, Blore. I do.
I confess everything, sir. Bonnie Betsy is bound for to win the handicap.
No, no, she isn't.
She is, sir. What's to beat, sir?
The horse in my stable, Dandy Dick.
Dandy Dick? That old bit of mahogany, sir. Did he intend to run against him?
I'll take it. I'll take it.
Oh, Lord love you, sir. How much?
50. There's the money, sir.
Oh! And that old man has been my pattern and example for years and years. Oh. Edward Blore, your Hegel is shattered.
Good night, sir. Blore? He's gone. If I don't call him back, the spire may be richer tomorrow by 500 pounds. I won't dwell on it. I'll read. Rain! Thunder, how it assimilates with the tempest of my mind. I read. Oh, bless me, this is very strange. The Horse and Its Ailments by John Cox, MRCVS. It was with the aid of this volume that I used to doctor my old mare at Oxford. a leaf turned down. Simple remedies for chills. The bolus. Ah, the helpless beast in my stable is suffering from a chill. Good gracious, if I allow Blore to risk my £50 on Dandy Dick, surely it would be advisable to administer this bolus to the poor animal without delay. Yes, I have these drugs in my chest. There's not a moment to be lost. I shall want help. I'll fetch my medicine chest.
Yes, sir. Where is he? The bell rang.
Oh, Blore. Blore, I feel it would be a humane act to administer to the poor, ignorant animal in my stable, a simple bolus as a precaution against chill. I rely upon your aid and discretion.
I see, sir. You ain't going to lose half a chance for tomorrow, sir.
No. Take this book. See here. Fetch these humble but necessary articles from the kitchen. Quick.
Yes, sir.
I'll mix the bolus here. it is exactly 27 years since I last approached a horse medically. I trust this bolus will not give the animal an unfair advantage over his competitors. I don't desire that. No. I don't desire that.
One would think by his looks that he was going to poison his family instead of... Poison? Well, if anything serious happened to the animal in our stable, there'd be nothing in the way of Bonnie Betsy. The deserving horse I've trusted with my own hard-earned savings.
Here are the articles you require, sir. Thank you, Blore. On the table here. Yes. Oh, the old half-forgotten time returns to me. Yes, I'm once again a promising youth at college.
Where's the stunt I got a month ago to destroy the whole black retriever that fell hill? The dog died. Poisoned in my pantry. Couldn't have got used for cooking purposes. I'll do it.
Now, where are the drugs? The drugs, yes. 3, 4, 5, 6. How fortunate some animals are. 1, 2, 3, 4. Done. Well, it's done. Now, I'll return my medicine chest to its proper place.
He's gone. Right. Strychnine. There. Stir it. I've cooked Dandy Dick. Oh, I'm only a amateur sportsman. I can't afford an uncertainty.
Floor.
Sir, can I help you any more, sir?
No, and don't let me see you again tonight.
It's only an horse, but after tomorrow I'll retire from the turf, if only to reclaim him.
Good night, sir.
Good night. Right, it's ready. So, on with the work of mercy. I don't contemplate my humane task with resignation. The stable is small, and if the animal is restive, we shall be cramped for room. Yes, I shall get a chill, too.
Martin's greatcoat. I'm sure he will lend me this gladly. The animal may recognize the garment and receive me with kindly feeling. Oh, but why do I feel that dreadful sinking of the heart?
No, I shall never sleep. Not in that cot. This sofa is better. Fire still burning. I shall doze here till daybreak. What a night. I never thought there was so much thunder in these small country places.
I must satisfy myself.
Hello?
Hush! Triss!
Why, George!
Oh, Triss, I've been dreaming. Oh, don't look at me. I'm overtrained. I shall be on my legs again in a minute.
Thank goodness, George. Whatever shall I do? Shall I trot you up and down outside?
I've had a frightful dream. I dreamt that Dandy had sold himself to a circus and that they were hooting him because he'd lost his tail. There's an omen.
George, be a man. George, be a man.
I know I'm dreadfully effeminate. I'm like a doting mother to my share of Dandy. And it's all the dearer because it's an invalid.
George, I never guessed that you were so tender-hearted.
Well, I'm not.
And you've robbed me tonight of an old friend. A pal.
What do you mean?
I mean that I seem to have dropped the acquaintance of George Dinn, Esquire, forever.
Triss, no.
I have. But I've got an introduction to his twin sister, Georgiana.
Triss.
Shh.
Stay where you are.
What's the matter?
Didn't you hear something?
Where?
Out there, look. Through the window.
You're right. Some people moving about the garden.
Triss, the horse.
And they're not near the stables. They're coming in here. Hush. We'll clear out and watch.
Oh! No fall after all!
Oh, wretched! Crushed! In debt for nothing!
Oh, to think we've had all the inconvenience of being wicked and rebellious, and then no fall!
This comes of stooping to the military.
It serves us right. We've been trained for clergymen's wives. I hate Nugent Darby. I hope he may grow bald early.
Yes. General Tarver's nose is inclined to pink. May it deepen and deepen till it frightens
cows. Oh, yes.
Miss Jed. Sheba. Miss Jed. Sir Novi. Pray hear two wretched men. Oh, Miss Jed, don't reproach us. It isn't our fault that the military was summoned us at Marvels.
You don't blame officers and gentlemen for responding to the sacred call of duty.
We blame officers for subjecting two motherless girls to the shock of alighting at Durnstone Athenaeum to find a notice on the front door. Ball knocked on the head. Vivat Regina.
Oh, no. Smile us once again, Miss Jed.
A forced, hollow smile. If you will, only smile. Sheba.
Salome. Sheba?
Oh, aunt.
You bad girls.
Oh, no, aunt. No. Oh, not bad, aunt. Trustful. And confiding.
Major Tarver, how dare you encourage these two simple children to enjoy themselves? How dare you take them out without their aunt?
They didn't even ask Papa's permission.
I'm speaking to you, Field Marshal.
Madam, you are addressing an invalid. We shall be happy to receive your representative in the morning. At present, we are on duty.
On heavy duty.
Guarding the ruins of the Swan Inn. You mustn't distract our attention.
Guarding the ruins of the Swan, are you? Tris? Sir Tristram!
Yeah?
Tris, I'm a feeble woman, but I hope I've a keen sense of right and wrong. Run these outsiders into the road and let them guard their own ruins.
Oh, no, no, slaves! You shall not harm a hair of their heads.
What's that?
It will wake Papa.
Shut the bell.
Oh, Tris, it's your man from the stable.
Hatcham.
And Blore.
How, sir? Twistum?
What is it?
The villain that set fire to the Swan, sir. In the act of administering a douse to the horse.
Nobbling our dandy.
Where is the scoundrel?
Topping the constable's collared him, sir. He's taken him in a cart to the lock-up.
Oh!
They've got the dean.
No, darling. Constable Toppin.
Yes.
You'll have your dinner before you drive your prisoner over to Durnstone, won't you, darling?
Yes.
Oh, Nora's in a nice temper today over summer. Oh, well, I suppose all public characters is liable to irritation. Oh, now who can that be?
Oh, well, I never! Mr. Blore from the deanery. Oh, come in. Oh, you might knock me down with a feather.
How do you do, Mrs. Toppy?
Oh, and now is the dear dean, bless him. The sweetest soul in the world.
I haven't seen him this morning.
Well, this is real kind of you, calling on an old friend, Edward.
Anna Evans.
Don't you kiss me, Edward Blore.
Don't. When you was Miss Evans, there wasn't any social barriers, Anna.
Shut up. Noah's jealous of the very apron strings what go round my waist.
Mr. Toppin isn't indoors now, surely? Why, took a man up last night.
Well, what of it?
Well, I thought that when any arrest was made in St. Marvel's, the prisoner was lodged here only for the night, and that the head constable had to drive him over to Durnstone Police Station the first thing in the morning.
Well, that's the rule, but Noah's behind Anne today and ain't going into Durnstone till after dinner.
Then the prisoner is now on the premises?
Yes, he's in his cell. That's it there, behind the heavy door.
Oh.
Whatever is the matter with you, Edward?
Anna, this unfortunate man was took in our stables last night.
Oh, then you know something about this arrest. You do?
No, I don't.
Yes, let me see what's written in the official book.
I merely wish to encourage you, Anna, to implant an hope that crime may brighten your wedded life.
The man was found trespassing in the deanery's tables with intent, refuses to give his name or any account of himself.
You're sure there's no confession of any sort, Anna, dear?
Anna!
Oh, don't. This is Mr. Blore from the deanery. Come to see us. An old friend of mine.
Mr. Topping.
She's getting me a lot of nice new friends this week since we come to St. Marble's.
Of course. Dear Anna was a loving favourite with everybody.
If I catch any old flyer buzzing around my lady, I'll venture to break his head in with my staff.
You know her.
I merely called to know if anything had been found out about the rat Ian took in our stables last night.
Oh, is that your business?
Well, it's my master's business.
Well, he's the dean, ain't he?
Yes, no, of course.
Shut up, darling. Ooh. Very well, then. Give Mr. Topping's respects to the dean and say I'll run up to the deanery and see him after I've took my man over to Durnston.
Thank you. And I very much hope that the dean will be at home. Good day, Anna. Good day, Mr. Topping.
I don't believe us we shall ever get the large circle of friends round us.
Now then, handcuffs. Them will do. Anna.
Yes, Nowring?
Brighten up, my darling, the little time you have me at home with you.
Yes, Nowring.
And get the dinner on the table. I'm just going round to the stable to put old Nick in the cart.
Oh, don't need trust to Nick, Noah, dear. He's such a vicious brute. Kitty's safer in the cart.
Shut up, darling. Nick can take me on to the edge of the hill in half the time that Kitty would.
The hill?
Ah. What do you think I put off taking my man to Durnston to now for? Why, I'm going to get a glimpse of the racing on my way over. Yeah, but first I'll take a peep at the prisoner through the little cell window. Ah, there he is. Sulky. Anna, open the oven door and let the smell of the cooking get into him.
Oh, no, no, it's torture.
Do as I tell you.
Oh.
Torture? Of course it's torture. That's my rule. So, you nasty criminal, you. You keep on smelling of what's cooking there in the oven, and you watch my Anna preparing a meal. Whenever I get a hold of a darn obstinate creature what won't reveal his identity, I open the oven door. I'll put Nick to the cart now.
No oven door for me, Noah Topping. Torturing prisoners might have done for them middling ages what Noah's always clattering about, but not for my time of life. I'll shut that cell window. Oh! The dean!
Oh!
Oh, no! Not my old master! Never the master! Master, look at me! It's Anna! You poor faithful servant, Anna.
Anna Evans.
It's Anna Topping, me Evans, wife of the constable. What's going to take you to cruel Durnstone? Oh, Mr. Dean, sir, what have you been up to? What have you been up to? What have you been up to?
Woman, I fear I have placed myself in an equivocal position. Be quiet, woman.
Is it a change of cooking that's brought you to such ways? They cooked for you for 7 happy years.
Alas, you seem to have lost none of your culinary skill.
Master, are you angry?
I am sorely tried by your domestic preparation.
Oh, now, where's the duplicate key of the cell? Master, you'll give me your patrol not to cut, won't you?
Under any other circumstances, Hammer, I should resent that insinuation.
Don't resent nothing. Now, shove. Shove your hardest, Dean, dear.
Well, good day, Hannah. You have bettered yourself, I hope.
Master, Master.
Hannah, Mrs. Topping.
I know, but crime levels all this earth.
In the eyes of that majestic but imperfect instrument, the law, I am an innocent, if not an injured man.
Oh, sir, it's a treat to hear you compared with the ordinary criminal class.
Thank you, Hannah.
But, Master dear, though my Noah don't recognize you, through his being a stranger to St. Marvell's, how will you fare when you get to Durnston?
I have one great buoyant hope, that a word in the ear of the Durnston superintendent will send me forth an unquestioned man.
You and he will be the sole keepers of my precious secret.
Master, is what you've told me your only chance of getting off unknown?
It is the sole remaining chance of averting a calamity of almost national importance.
Then you're as done as that joint in my oven.
Woman.
The superintendent at Durnstone, John Ruggles, also the two inspectors, Whittaker and Parker.
Well?
Them and their wives and families of chapel folk.
No!
Yes!
Oh! Oh!
Master!
It's all over! It's all over!
Listen, Master, dear, you shan't be took to Durnstone. You're, take this key, put it in your pocket. When you once get free from my darling Noah, that key unlocks your handcuffs.
Oh,
handcuffs. How are you to get free? Now that is the question now, isn't it? Well, I'll tell you. My Noah drives you over to Durnstone with old Nick in the cart.
Old Nick?
That's the horse. Now, Nick was formerly in the Durnstone Fire Brigade, and when he hears the familiar signal of a double whistle, you can't hold him in. Now, there's the whistle.
The whistle?
Directly you turn into Purtree Lane, blow once, and you'll see Noah with his nose in the air, pulling fit to wrench his hands off. Now, jump out, roll clear of the wheel, keep cool and hopeful, and blow again. Before you can get the mud out of your eyes, Noah and the horse and cart will be well into Durnstone.
Hannah, how dare you? Is this the fruit of your 7 years' constant cookery at the deanery?
Oh, dear. I wouldn't have done it, only this is your first offence.
My first offence?
You're not too old. I want to give you another start in life.
Another start? Woman, do you think I've no conscience?
It's hunger what makes you feel conscientious. Here, Master. A lovely leg of mutton.
I have done with you.
With me, sir, but not with the joints. You'll feel wickeder when you add little nourishment.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. That's right, dear. Taste my darling Noah's favorite dish. Oh. Now, here's the carving knife.
Oh, Hannah Topping. Hannah Topping. I'll have no more women cooks at the deanery. This reads me a lesson.
Don't stint yourself, sir. You can't blow that whistle on an empty frame. Oh, don't my cooking carry you back, sir. Say it, do.
Every mouthful would carry me back one little hour. I would finish this entire joint.
Who's she talking to in there?
Oh, if my mind were calmer, this would be an all-sufficient repast.
My man, oh mystery, awaited on by my newly made wife, eaten of my favorite meal.
Introduce me.
Oh!
Am I to gather, Constable, that you object to these little kindnesses extended to me by your worthy wife?
I'm wishing to know the name of my worthy wife's friend.
Oh, no worry. I've made this gentleman's acquaintance through the cell door, in a casual way.
Aye, I might have guessed my wedded life had come to this. But this is neither the time nor place, with people at the door and dinner on the table, to spill a strange man's blood.
I trust that your self-respect as an officer of the law will avert anything so unseemly.
You and me is going to set out for Dunstan. And when the charge is now standing again you is entered, it's I, Noah Topping, what'll add another.
Oh, Noah!
The charge of alienating the affections of my wife, Anna.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, no.
And worse, the embezzling of my midday meal prepared by her hands. Oh. Go back to that cell. Oh, go in! You have 5 minutes more in the home you have ruined and laid waste.
You will at least receive my earnest assurance that this worthy woman is extremely innocent.
Innocent? Look at my leg of mutton!
Oh.
Anna, open the front door.
Oh, no, Ree. You'll never be popular in St. Marble.
Open that door!
Lady. Sir?
Yeah, me. Is this the police station?
Yes, lady. Take a chair, lady, near the fire. Sit down, sir.
Thank you. This is my first visit to a police station, my good woman. I hope it'll be the last.
Oh, don't say that, ma'am.
It's beautifully Arcadian.
Anna, introduce me.
Good gracious, what's that? Are you the man in charge here?
Aye. Are you seeing me on business or pleasure?
Now, look here, my man. This lady is Mrs. Tidman. Mrs. Tidman is the sister of Dr. Jed, the Dean of St. Marble.
Who? There's something wrong with your wife.
Aye. She's profligate. Proceedings are pending.
Now, my good man, to come to the point. My poor friend and this lady's brother, Dr. Jed, the Dean, you know, has mysteriously and unaccountably disappeared.
Vanished.
Gone.
Absconded.
Absconded? How dare you?
Respectable man, was he?
What do you mean?
This lady is his sister.
Money matters. Oh. Right or wrong?
Oh.
Do put your questions more feelingly. This lady is his sister.
Well, had he anything on his mind?
Yes.
Then I got a theory.
What is it?
A theory that'll put you all out of suspense.
Yes.
Oh, I've been a good bit about. I read a deal and I'm a shrewd, experienced man. I should say this is nothing but an ordinary case of suicide.
Suicide?
Georgiana.
Oh, Tris. If this were true, how could we break it to the girls?
Well, I could run up during the evening and break it to the girls.
Now, look here, my man. All you've got to do is to hold your tongue and take down my description of the Dean and report his disappearance at Durdstone. Now, take this down. Missing. The very Reverend Augustine Jed, Dean of St. Marble's. Poor Gus. Poor Gus.
Lady.
Augustine.
Yes.
Have you got that, Constable? Yes.
I'm spelling it my own way.
Poor dear old Gus. Description.
Oh, no.
Description.
Well, I suppose he was just an ordinary sort of looking man.
No. Description.
Description? A little short, thin man with black hair and a squint.
No, he isn't.
Yes, he is.
Georgiana, what are you talking about?
I'm Gus's sister. I ought to know what my brother's like.
Good heavens, Georgiana. Your mind is not going.
Trace, a word. He's in there.
Eh?
Gus is the villain found dosing Dandy Dick last night.
Oh. Now, my man, what have you written?
I've written falses to the name of Gus.
It's not wanted. I've altered my mind. I'm too busy to bother about him this week.
What? After wasting my time? There's my car outside, waiting for to take the scoundrel over to Durnston.
I should like to see him.
Well, you can view him passing out. Stand back while I unlock the cell door. I warn you, he's an awful-looking creature.
Gus, poor Gus.
Now then, you are going to have to endure these handcuffs.
My brother in handcuffs.
Be calm. This good woman has arranged for his escape.
But we can't trust a Gus rolling out of a flying dog cart. Why, it's as much as I could do.
Oh, yes, lady, you'll do it. I provided for everything. Don't betray him to Noah.
Now then, you're coming for a little drive.
Oh.
Up you get.
No, stay. I am the owner of the horse stable of the deanery. I make no charge against this wretched person.
I was discovered administering to a suffering beast a simple remedy for chills.
The analysis hasn't come home from the chemist yet. Is this the truth?
Yes.
Release this man, Constable.
Release him? He was found trespassing in the stables of the late Dean, who's committed suicide. The diseased Dean is the only man what can withdraw one charge.
I
am the only man what can withdraw the other. I charge this person unknown with alienating the affections of my wife while I was putting my horse to. And I'm going to drive him over to Durnston with the evidence. Whoa there, steady there, go on, get back.
Augustine, I am disappointed in you. Have you got this wretched woman's whistle?
Yes. Have you got the key of your handcuff?
Yes.
Time's up. Come on. I am ready.
Oh, what am I to think of my brother?
Think? That he's the beautifulest, sweetest man in all Derbyshire.
Woman?
It's I and my whistle, and Nick, the fire brigade horse, what'll bring him back to the deanery, safe and unarmed. Not a soul but we three will ever know of his misfortune.
Get up now! Get up, old girl!
Oh, girl? Ooh. He's done for!
Done for?
The dean can whistle his soul blue. Noah's put Kitty in the cart and left old Nick at home.
Poor Papa.
Poor dear Papa.
He must return very soon. He must.
He must. If I should pine and ultimately die of this suspense, I want you, Salome, to have my workbox.
Oh, thank you, Sheba, dear. But if Papa is not home for afternoon tea, you will outlive me.
Miss Jed. Miss Jed.
Sheba, here are Gerald Tarver and Mr. Darby.
Open the window and dare them to enter. Oh, the presumption!
You do well, gentlemen, to intrude upon two feeble women at a moment of sorrow.
Miss Jed, don't be shocked when you see Tarver.
Oh!
Miss Jed, pardon this informal method of presenting ourselves.
One step further, and I shall ask Major Tarver, who is nearest the bell, to ring for help.
The fact is, Miss Jed, the Tarver is in an exceedingly critical condition.
Oh.
I have taken him to Dr. Middleton, and I explained that Major Tarver loved with a passion, Miss Sheba, second only to my own.
Salome, I have loved you distractedly for upwards of 8 weeks.
Oh, Mr. Darby, let us retire from this painful scene.
Miss Sheba, I'm yours to command. May I confide in you a secret? May I?
Miss Salome, to a man in my condition, love is either a rapid and fatal malady, or it is an admirable digestive. Accept me, and my merry laugh once more rings through the mess room. Reject me, and the collection of vocal music will be brought to the hammer, and the bird, as it were, will chill no more.
Oh, Major, Mr. Darby, I have never thought of marriage seriously.
People never do till they are married.
Think, only think of my age.
Pardon me, Sheba. But what is your age?
Oh, it is so very little. It is not worth mentioning. Cannot we remain friends and occasionally correspond?
Well, of course, if you insist.
No, no. I see that is impracticable. It must be wed or part. All I ask is time. Time to ponder over such a question. Time to know myself better.
But how long?
Give me 2 or maybe 3 minutes. Let me gaze by myself at the cathedral spire. So uplifting, while I meditate.
Oh, Miss Salome, I never thought that I should live to be accepted by anyone. I shall buy some gay songs. Oh, but when can I see the dean?
Oh, don't.
Salome.
Papa has been out all night.
All night?
Isn't it terrible? Oh, what do you think of it, Mr. Darby?
Here's Aunt Georgiana.
Look out, Tarver.
Come this way, and let us take cuttings in the conservatory.
Mr. Darby! Mr. Darby! Wait for me! I have decided! Yes!
Oh!
Come on, Tris.
Oh.
The course is clear. Mind the gatepost. Hold him up. Now, give him his head.
Put him down, Hatton.
Hatton, put him down.
I will, Mum, gladly.
Oh, where am I now? Georgiana? Martin?
How are you, Jed, old boy?
How do you feel now, Gus?
Torn to fragments.
Thank heaven he's conscious.
I feel as if I had been walked over carefully by a large concourse of the lower orders.
So you have been. Thank heaven his memory is all right.
Do I understand that I have been forcibly and illegally rescued?
That's it, old fellow.
Who has committed such a reprehensible act?
A woman who would have been a heroine in any age. Georgiana.
Georgiana, never let this occur again.
Tell him, George.
You found out that that other woman's plan went lame, didn't you?
I discovered its inefficacy after a prolonged period of ineffectual whistling.
But we ascertained the constable was going to watch the races. Directly we knew this, Tris and I made for the hill. Bless your soul, there were hundreds of me old friends there. Welshers, pickpockets, cart sharpers, all the lowest racecourse cabs in the kingdom. In a minute, I was in the middle of them, as much at home as a duchess in a drawing room.
A queen in a palace, bold as they are among the druids.
Do you know me? I hollered out. Instantly, there was a cry of, blessed if it ain't George Tidd. Listen to me, I said. A very dear relative of mine has been collared for playing the three-card trick on his way down from town. There was a groan of sympathy. He'll be on the brow of the hill with a bobby in half an hour, said I. Who's for the rescue? A dead, deep silence followed, broken only by the sweet voice of a young child saying, what'll we get for it? A pound apiece, said I. And there was a roar of assent. So now you know whose hands have led you back to your own manger.
Oh, my dear sister.
And oh, my dear brother, confess, isn't there something good and noble in true English sport after all?
Every abused institution has its redeeming characteristic. But whence is the money to come to reward these dreadful persons? I cannot reasonably ask my girls to organize a bazaar or concert.
Concert? Ha! I'm a rich woman.
Rich?
Well, I've cleared 1,500 over the handicap.
No! Then the horse who enjoyed the shelter of the deanery last night...
Dandy Dick!
One
in a common canter, all the rest nowhere. And Bonnie Betsy walked in with the policeman.
£500 towards the spire. 500. Oh, where is Blore with the good news?
Look at him, lively as a cricket.
Sir Tristram, I am under the impression that your horse swallowed a small portion of the bolus last night before I was surprised and removed.
By the by, I'm expecting the analysis of that concoction every minute.
Spare yourself the trouble. The secret is with me. I seek no acknowledgement from either of you, but in your moment of deplorable triumph, remember with gratitude the little volume of The Horse and Its Ailments. Well, I must go now and recompose myself. Now thank we all our hearts.
But oh, Tris, Tris Marden, what can I ever say to you?
Anything you like, except thank you.
Don't stop me. Why, you were the man who hauled Augustine out of the cart by his legs.
Oh, but why mention such trifles?
They're not trifles, Tris. And when his cap fell off, it was you, brave fellow that you are, who pulled the horse's nose bag over my brother's head so that he shouldn't be recognized.
My dear Georgiana, these are the common courtesies of everyday life. Nor shall I forget the way in which you gave Dandy his whiskey out of a soda water bottle just before the race.
Oh, that's nothing. Any lady would do the same.
Nothing? You look like Florence Nightingale to the paddock. Oh, Georgiana, why won't you marry me?
Why?
Why?
Why? Because you've only just asked me, Tris.
But when I touched your hand last night, you reared.
Ah.
Yes?
Beg pardon, Sir Tristram.
What is it, Adam?
The chemist has just brought the analysis.
The analysis?
Where is he? I must see what it says, Georgiana.
You need me with you, Tris.
This way, Miss Georgiana. Sir Tristram, this way.
Home. What sonorous music is in the word. Home. With the secret of my sad misfortune buried in the bosoms of a faithful few. Home, with my family influence intact. But what is this I have picked up on the stairs? Debtor to Louis Isaac's costumiers to the Queen, Bow Street. Total £40.19. Oh, no, it is too horrible. There was a fancy masked ball at Durnston last night. Salome. Sheba? Oh, no, no.
Papa! Papa! Patsy!
Our parent returns.
Patsy, come back. Oh.
Stop. I demand an explanation of this disreputable document.
Debtor to Louis Isaacs, costumier to the Queen.
Oh, oh.
Total £40, 19. Imps of deceit. There was a ball at Durmston last night. I know it.
Spare us. You couldn't have been there, Papa.
To your respective rooms. Let your blinds be drawn. At 7, porridge will be brought to you.
Papa!
Go.
Pepsi!
Go.
But, Papa, we poor girls as we are can pay the bill.
You cannot. Go.
Through the kindness of our aunt. We have won £50.
You have won what?
At the races.
You too. You too. Drawn into the vortex. Is there no conscience that is clear? Is there no guilelessness left in this house, with the possible exception of my own?
The analysis has arrived.
I am absolutely indifferent.
Indifferent? Fred, you were once my friend, and soon you are to be my relative.
Your relative?
But not even our approaching family tie prevents my designating you as one of the most atrocious conspirators known in the history of the turf.
Conspirator?
As the owner of one half of Dandy Dick, I denounce you.
As the owner of the other half, I denounce you.
You?
The chief ingredient of your infernal preparation is known.
But it contains nothing that I would not cheerfully administer to my own children.
Oh!
I believe you. Strychnine. 16 grains.
Oh! Strychnine. Summon my devoted servant Blore, in whose presence the innocuous mixture was compounded.
Innocuous?
Oh, this analysis is simply the pardonable result of over-enthusiasm on the part of our local chemist.
Gus, you're a disgrace to the pretty little police station where you slept last night.
You rang, sir?
I will prove that in the deanery stables the common laws of hospitality have never been transgressed. Here is the bowl I used for the mixture. A simple remedy for a chill.
Strychnine! 16 grains!
I myself am suffering from the exposure of last night. Now, observe me. I will swallow the prescribed dose myself.
No! No! Don't! Don't!
What?
You wouldn't hang the oldest servant in the deanery.
Law?
I did it.
You?
I wanted this gentleman's horse out of the way, and while he was mixing the dose with the best ecclesiastical intentions, I introduced a foreign element.
Viper.
Oh, sir, it was all for the sake of you, sir.
For the dean?
Well, the dear dean had only £50 to spare for sporting purposes. I thought a gentleman of his eye standing ought to have a certainty.
Dead.
Augustine!
I can conceal it no longer. I instructed this unworthy creature to back Dandy Dick on behalf of the Restoration Fund.
And didn't you do it?
No.
Why not? In the name of that tottering spire, why not?
Oh, sir, thinking as you've given some of the strychnine mixture to Dandy, I put your cheerful little offering onto Bonnie Betsy.
Oh, I could have pardoned everything but this last act of disobedience. You are unworthy of the deanery. Leave it at once for some ordinary household.
Sir, if I leave the deanery, I shall give my reasons. And then what will folks think of you and me in our old age?
You wouldn't spread this tale in St. Marvels.
Not if sober, sir. But suppose grief drove me to my cups.
Ah, yes. Well, I must save you from intemperance at any cost. Remain in my service. A sad, sober, and above all, silent man.
I thank you, sir. I thank you.
Papa!
To your rooms! I am distracted.
Major Tarver and Mr. Darby.
If you have sufficiently merged all sense of moral rectitude as to declare that I am not at home, do so.
No, no, Papa. We have accidentally discovered that you, our parent, have stooped to deception, if not to crime.
Oh.
We are still young. The sooner, therefore, we are removed from any unfortunate influence, the better.
Oh!
We have an opportunity of beginning life afresh.
But
these two gallant gentlemen have proposed for us.
Then I am at home. Where are they?
In the library, dear Papa.
Poor Papa.
Is this here the deanery?
Don't we come back?
Go away.
There's been a man rescued from my lawful custody. The villain has been traced back to the deanery.
Go away.
Come away.
The man was an unknown lover of my newly made wife.
You mustn't bring your domestic affairs here. This is a subject for your own fireside of an evening.
Come in, Major Tarver. Come in, Mr. Darby.
That's his voice. My man.
No, 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 Ray. Oh. You are speaking to Dr. Jed, the Dean of St. Marvel's.
Dr. Jed?
The Dean of St. Marvel's.
I'm speaking to the man I took last night. The culprit has alienated the affections of my wife.
Wait one moment.
Hackham!
Do not let us chide a man who is conscientious even in error. What? Ah, I think I see Hannah Evans, once an excellent cook under this very roof.
I'm Mrs. Toppin now, sir, bride of the constable. Oh. No, don't forgive her. He's a master ignorance.
Come away.
Wait. Here is Hackham.
Sir?
Ah, Hackham. Is that the man you and the constable secured in the stable last night?
That, sir? Bless your heart, sir, that's the dean himself.
That'll do.
Why, our man was a short, thin individual.
I trust you are perfectly satisfied.
Well, I'm
Hannah, you and your worthy husband will stay and dine in the kitchen. What? Good afternoon.
Oh, is it hot dinner?
Hot with ale.
Now then. You don't know a real gentleman when you see one. Why don't you thank the dean warmly?
Thank you, sir.
Go, go. I take a kindly interest in you both.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Anna. Good morning.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning.
Well, Gus, you're out of all your troubles. Are you happy?
Happy? My family influence gone forever? My dignity crushed out of all recognition? The genial summer of the deanery frosted by the winter of deceit.
Look here, Augustine. George Tidd will lend you that 1,000 for the poor, innocent old spire.
Oh, Georgiana.
On one condition, that you'll admit there's no harm in our laughing at a sporting deed.
No, no, I cannot allow it.
Tris, my brother Gus doesn't want us to be merry at his expense.
Why, Jed, there's no harm in laughter. For those who laugh and for those who are laughed at.
Provided always first that it is folly that is laughed at and not virtue.
Secondly, that it is our friends who laugh at us, as we hope they all will for our pains.
Alec McCowan was the Dean, Patricia Routledge, Georgiana Tidman, and Nigel Stock, Sir Tristram, in Dandy Dick by Arthur Wing Pinero. With Susan Kidd as Salome, Melinda Walker as Sheba, John Church as Blore, Richard Clifford as Mr. Darby, John Rye as Major Tarver, Sean Prendergast as Hatcham, Anne Jameson as Hannah Topping, and Garard Green as Noah Topping. The play was directed by John Tiedemann.